You know, there's some things, if you look at it literally, just really doesn't make sense. The proverb found in 18 of Ezekiel. 18th chapter of Ezekiel, the proverb, first and second verse. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, literally, that doesn't really happen that way. Brother Mickey made sour grapes, but that doesn't really mean in the natural that his son Stan or any other boys or his grandson here, teeth would be set on edge. Do you know what we're talking about having your teeth set on edge or teeth sharp, as we used the word when I was a kid? Have you ever climbed a tree and eaten just your fill of possum grapes? And have your teeth set on edge? You don't know what I'm talking about, Chip? Boy, you just haven't been nowhere in this world, you know? Earl, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Not only have I eaten them, I've made wine out of them. Boy, squeeze that juice out of there, put it in me a fruit jar, put me some sugar in it, stir it up, hide it in the bushes one day and go drink it the next. And played like I was drunk. Now, some of you have done the same thing, too. It would have been wine if I could have left it alone. All right. But, you know, a little bit farther on in this chapter, it actually tells us more about what we're really talking about. Now, there's a meaning to the fathers eating sour grapes and the children's teeth being set on edge. It means, watch out, mister. What you do and how you live may have to do with what your sons and daughters do. Or they may suffer from your doings. You know, a lot of people just live for themselves and they don't think. There's many families that are raising little children that are not giving any thought to the destiny of those children. Living as they desire to live. And if they don't want to live for God themselves, it looks like if they love that little boy and girl, or boys and girls, it looks like for them alone they would live better lives than many people are living in this world. Now down in the verses, if he beget a son. Now first of all it mentions people who walk not in the statutes of the Lord. Now if he beget a son that's a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abominations, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase. The question is, shall he live? There is a consequence to sin. Wherever sin is planted, those seeds are going to bring forth consequences. Now, there's only one escape from sin, of course, and you know that escape is through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I felt like just telling you parents this morning, basically this is parents and grandparents in here, that you should be careful when you're eating your sour grapes. When you neglect God, when you fail to do as you should do, what effect is it going to have on those that you love most? There is an effect. And I know, if you look at the other side of this, sometimes you have grown weary and you think, well, it seems that my children pay no attention. But they really do. You let one of them get in trouble and you listen to them say, Mom, pray for me. Dad, pray for me. I need help. Request the church pray for me. Tell them to remember us when they go to Monday night prayer meetings. Or make known in the services today that we have need, sickness in the home, or other problems. We've had homes on the verge of being broken up, and because there's been training in the home, they call and say, pray, because things is going wrong at home. You want to say, well, why don't you come to church? Why don't you live for God? Why don't you do right? But it's not always a time to say that. You see, Jesus, should he have taken the attitude that some of us take? When he was here, there wasn't a soul that he talked to but what was in their sins. He came to a sinful world. None good, no, not one. Now, some of our neighbors try to cram that off on you and on the church, on the redeemed, on the born again. That's not what it's talking about. But when Jesus came to this world, Israel was not in a holy state. And the Gentiles, the eyes of the Gentiles, as Brother Mickey taught us today, they were never in that holy state. Once in a while, a man would walk with God in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, after 400 years of darkness from Malachi to John the Baptist, the world must have been in a terrible religious state. And it was not in a state to produce righteousness or holiness. Their ancestors had been evil. They had robbed God. They had turned their back upon God. They had done every ungodly deed that could be spoken of. And the next generation was not to be, you couldn't expect a whole lot more out of it. You know, we have lived to see the generation that World War II produced. It brought on a change in our world. Up until World War II, the factories were not so busy with mothers and women working in the factories, a few now and then. But then the war came, and the women had to go to the factories and to the jobs. And it hasn't changed. Now, that's not so bad within itself. But then they begin to take on the various habits and sins and cultures, drinking, smoking, and doing everything that society, any society, is doing. And now we've come to the time that the ERA, or Equal Rights, deal is on. And everybody's claiming their own and wanting to do their own thing and do as they please. This is all products of our past. We've come from a time of sin and neglect, a time of the home not being the true home anymore. Where is the mamas that teaches their children in their infancy how to pray? Where is the mothers that teaches the children how to read and understand the Bible? Where is the mothers that will talk to them about the good things of God? Now, in this age that we're living in a time of thievery. When pleasures of this world has stolen the time that mother and dad ought to be given to the family and to the children and teaching them by example and otherwise the ways of God. The modern inventions of our life, including television, has robbed many a family of home life. Many children do not know what it is to converse with dad and with mother, let alone pray with them. Where's the families that used to get together with songbooks and sing hymns in the church and worship God in the home? Where's the families that used to have cottage prayer meetings? But now it's almost impossible to do it because you can't hardly carry on the conversation. And I'm not a fanatic on the television issue, and you know that. But if it's not television, it's tape players and CBs and 8-tracks and cassettes and radios and motorcycles and boats and cars and trucks and campers and a thousand other things to get our mind off the things that really count. Amen. Oh, God. Try to carry on the conversation. Shh. We're going to find out who shot J.R. It's in every paper. You can't keep from seeing it. It's on billboards. You can even enter contests. You can even gamble on it. And it's the age. You're going to talk about nothingness. You're going to talk about or get interested in the things that don't amount to anything. I'm not opposed to playing ball. I honestly don't think it's the most terrible sin in the world to kick a football. I never could kick one very good, and I sure can't throw one, and I'm not about to let 10 or 12 or how many there, how many plays on a football team? How you guys know so much about this, all right? I'm not about to get out there and let them run me down and every last one jump on top of me. I'm not interested in that. But here's all I'm trying to tell you. While we're busy with JR and football and fishing and hunting, let alone drinking, booze, cursing, women, men, let alone these things, when we get so occupied in all of these things, what's going to happen to Junior? How's he going to be? How do you expect him to be a church member? I look around, I'm cautious as I say these things, but when you see a child like Lisa Kinley, whose dad and mother come once in a while and ought to be here more often, and don't think that I'm saying that to be hateful. That's not so. I love these people. Lena Kay is like one of ours. But when you see Lisa step out of a family and live for God, it seems to me like she's doing real well. But that's an exceptional case. It's really exceptional. If you really want to have a more assurance that your family will live for God yourself. If you want your children to do right yourself. If you want your sons to be non-smokers, don't smoke, Dad. If you want your sons to be non-drinkers, don't drink. You women, if you want your daughters to grow up to be good housewives, be a good housewife. If you want your daughter to grow up to be faithful to her husband, then you be faithful to your husband. I'm saying that parents are to be what they would hope their children to be. And if you are not that, don't expect them to be too good. Things usually degenerate. I mentioned here a while back, I read that just 100 years ago, people didn't even eat tomatoes. They didn't know they were edible. They were in the little tomato state, just a little tiny tomato. You know the difference in the way you spell tomato and tomato? It was called a love apple before it was called a tomato. And it was used as a little flowering shrub more. Don't look like much of a flower to me. But nevertheless, that was the first thing it was known. But it's been a hybrid, and it becomes pretty good eating. I like it for breakfast and for dinner and for supper and sometimes in between. I really do. I like tomatoes with gravy and biscuits. I like tomatoes with eggs. I like tomatoes. Do you? You never tried tomato gravy, Brother Freeman?
I've had everything.
All right. But one season of neglect. Are you hearing me? One season of neglect. I learned this the hard way. We had a good tomato crop one time. I mean, we raised some nice ones, and we let them decay in the garden or in the field. And they stayed out there all winter long and decayed or rotted on the ground. The winter came. The snow and ice came. But you know, the next spring, we had an abundant crop of tomato plants. And we pulled those things up and set them out. And we was going to have another abundant crop. And you know what we had, Sister Ruth? We had tomatoes, an abundant crop. Last year's crop went back. Neglect drives it back. I'm telling you, folks, that if we don't keep the prayer wheels going, we go back. Our children goes back. Amen. Go ahead and eat your sour grapes. Go ahead, Dad, and drink. Chip, just as sure as you'd have continued in your drunkenness as you were a few years ago, don't you know that Chrisley would have been an alcoholic? In all probability, he'd have turned out to be an alcoholic. He might anyhow. I doubt it. He might, but he has a lot better chance of not being by having a Christian example set before him than it would have been the other way around. How's your boys in the church? And as far as I know, Stevie's been a model boy all along. I don't know anything against him. I imagine he's had to get on to him once or twice about something. Maybe winking at the girls or something. But where would Stevie been had not Howard and Joyce 15 years ago made their way to the Apostolic Church? When I first got acquainted with them, Rundle had this old Volkswagen bus, you know, and we had our vacation Bible school. The first year here shows you what you can do if you want to do it. When we had just a few people here, Brother Jackson, you was talking about the number yesterday or last night? When we had just a few people here, we started this church in August, I believe, of 65. The very next year, very next spring, we had a vacation Bible school. We had 156 kids involved in vacation Bible school. Well, we haven't done that lately because we got a youth camp up here that we can take our kids to. But what about our neighbor kids? See, we're losing something with all of our wealth. I'm not fighting the youth camp. But our neighbor kids are not going to go to youth camp. It's high time that we set up a program to somehow attract these kids in our neighborhood. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Come on, let's praise God. So I went by and drove Reynolds bus and picked up some of the kids over in that direction. And I remember picking up Steve and Sharon. Steve was a little bitty old boy about the size of Richie, I believe, then. That was in 66. How old would he have been then? Well, that's too hard to figure that way. When was he born? And Joyce, when was he born? Huh? Oh, he's 18 now. He was born in 62? All right, 66. He's 4 years old. Size of Rich, you see. And he wore a little, I remember wearing some little short trousers like. And he ran out to that Volkswagen bus and wanted to sit with me. And that was fine, but I didn't know it meant as much to him as it did. The next day, somebody got his seat. And he came and got on the bus, and he looked at whoever it was sitting by me, and he just turned and run back in the house just as fast as he'd go. If he couldn't sit by the preacher, he wouldn't go. Now, what would have Stevie and Sharon, what would have they been by now? Sharon would have probably married outside the church, in all probability. She might have married into the Catholic faith. She might have married someone who operates a whiskey store. God only knows. I'm telling you that it pays off to be in the church. But I'm using them for an example. Think of your own. Where would your children be? Some of them may not be in exactly what you want them to be as yet. But don't give up. Thank God, as long as you eat the right kind of diet, as long as you do right yourself, as long as you be faithful, you've got a promise in God's holy word. Praise God. Train up a child in a way it should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Let's praise the Lord for his goodness. Lift your hands and thank God for his goodness. Hallelujah.